Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 153. We have a very exciting episode today, coming off the big Diamond League finale in Brussels. Gus is here to give his recap of it. Hey, Gus. He's just dipped his head away. Gussie. No, the CEO's got better things to do. But exciting times. Big Diamond League final and some other cool little tidbits today. Before we get into it, just quickly, in the description of this episode, we will have a form for everyone that's going to be in New York for the marathon racing. And it'll be like a little Google form just for everyone. You can put in your information so that we can follow along. And we'll start feeding out information for what we're going to be doing there. Just a couple of cool little events and some nice little giveaways and stuff. Fun stuff similar to last year. After this episode, this will be the last one. For next week's episode, won't be kind of like a live episode. Just a little heads up for that. Ollie and I did an interview many moons ago now. And so next week we'll be putting that one out. So it'll be a bit of a weird week, but then I think after that we'll get back into some timely episodes. But yeah, that's it. Boys, how we feeling?
Good, Morg. Real good.
Gus is
falling asleep. That's how bored he is.
He wanted to check in on how we're all doing here. Obviously, we're doing a good job because he's not worried.
Same old, same old.
Things
just
are good.
Like the good old days.
The funny thing is he's done nothing for like 2 days. I've taken him for like two walks. Had to drag him along a little bit. And then today he just sitting in my chair. Just didn't want to give it up. So
isn't that what he normally does?
Well, he does that, or he'll just sit under my chair, or like he has to be touching me in some form, like his butt or his foot or his head has to be like touching my foot if I'm like sitting doing something or laying down. He loves physical touch, the old Gus.
Just like his father, touch. No?
Just like his father, yes, exactly.
Learn from the best.
Yeah.
So as per usual, we do some check-ins with these over the internet. Episodes. Both these guys are in Boulder, so I think I'll go first because I'm still here in Europe spending kind of the last of my time in Italy. So I've been here just at Cinta's house for a bit, and she actually still has one more race. Her race in Zagreb, I guess, was her last like proper race for the season, but this upcoming weekend she's racing for her club in Modena, so we'll do a bit of traveling around for that. So I'm excited to go visit both Parma and Verona on my way there. And then Monday next week, I'm actually taking a trip to Ethiopia with her for kind of like our post-season holiday vacation. And yeah, I'm very, very excited for that. It's going to be pretty, pretty crazy. I've been watching a lot of videos to try and practice my Amharic, which is a very difficult language.
Show us what you've got so far.
So, I mean, hello. I mean, like the casual way to say hello in Ethiopia is just salam. So easy. Already had that one down. I think the most important word in Amharic is konjo, which means beautiful. You just can call everything beautiful. To say thank you is amasena galalo, which I did not pronounce that right. And yeah, that's about where I'm at.
I thought salam was Arabic. Or something. Is that the same?
It is like that's like that. It is Arabic, so but they use it there as well. They also say ciao, like to say bye. They say ciao. So yeah, well,
I guess there is. I mean, there Ethiopia is some Italian evidence. Italian
there influence. Is. Yeah, Italy did try and influence that country in a very big way at certain points, but also Ethiopia is a massive melting pot of different cultures because even I mean within the country, it's not like there's one language. I mean, I think the main language is Amharic, but in different parts of the country, they speak completely different languages. There's all the different ethnic groups there. And so it is a big kind of melting pot of different cultures. So yeah, they use salam. I think it's just like casual hello in, I guess, a lot of the world, really.
That's going to be crazy. So Sinta has never been back, huh?
Yeah. So it is a very special trip for her. It's been 18 years since she got adopted, and this is her first time returning. So there's a bit of, you know, like kind of fear, anxiety, I guess, with how it'll go, but mostly just excitement. So yeah.
That's freaking cool.
So
can you fly?
Yeah.
How do you fly there? Can you fly direct to Addis?
Yeah, honestly, it's surprisingly easy from where we are. We'll leave out of Venice, and then we'll fly to Rome, and then just Rome to Addis. And that's only, I want to say, a 7 or 8 hour flight, and it's only, I think, a 2 hour time difference. So really, not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty easy. I mean, it makes sense because that's how. I mean, it's so much easier for African runners to go race in Europe than because mm-hmm. it's like the same time zone and everything, basically.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're doing a few days in Addis, the capital city, and then we're doing a bit of traveling to see the beauty of Ethiopia. Like, it's such a beautiful country, and there's so many. It's a massive country. I mean, it's a big landmass, and there's, I think, around 120 million people there. It's a really big country, so there's so much you could see there. Unfortunately, right now, there is also a bit of war ongoing. So, I mean, that's been kind of the story of Ethiopia for quite a while now, unfortunately, just different conflicts breaking out. And so Sinta is originally from a town called Bardar, and that is kind of like the focal point of where a lot of the unrest is right now. So it's not safe to go there. So we'll have to save that for a later trip, but we'll still try to see some of the other cool sites that we can that are in the safer areas. So that's the plan.
That's so sick. Africa's
link up with
insane.
Link up with Sergey as well. Try to go for a run at, I think it's about 8,000 feet, maybe even a little bit higher, 2,500 meters. So, yeah.
Nice. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Please don't be safe.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
We're doing everything we can for safety. I mean, it'll definitely be the most, what's the word? Just like out there trip I've ever taken in terms of, you know, just being completely foreign, very little language. I mean, I think in the cities, obviously, like a lot of people speak English, but it'll be, I don't know, something very different from what I've ever experienced.
Definitely like probably the like most non-Western place, right? You'd ever go to.
Yeah. I've never been to Africa. I've had somewhat similar experiences in Asia before, where I've been to China, and I've had a race in a town where like no one speaks English and I'm there on my own for a bit. So I've had a bit of that, but still, I think, this is like even like a step further in terms of how foreign it will be for me. So, yeah.
Can't wait to see some, I don't know, hear some updates, see some photos or something.
Yeah, well, I plan on trying to take my GoPro and get like a lot of footage from it just to be able to share with the family and friends, just to share with everyone really, and just to have for the memories as well. So hopefully we'll be able to get some cool stuff, and yeah, very, very excited. And then come back in the pod and also share all the experiences on here. So yeah, that's my life.
Hopefully you run into some coffee club fans in Ethiopia.
I'm sure we got many out there.
Big wonder what our culture. Listening numbers are like in Ethiopia. Probably not our
probably
highest.
Probably crushing it. not our highest, but you never know. Lots of runners, lots of coffee. So that's kind of like our, that's coffee, right in our sweet spot.
Coffee was invented in Ethiopia, right? That's what they say. That they, yeah. Some, they were like, they saw some animals eating some berries and getting like super frisky. They were like, what is in that? I think it's how it went with caffeine.
Have you guys seen the coffee ritual that they have there? Like how they drink it?
No.
Yeah, I was telling me about it.
Hopefully I get to experience it soon in real life, but they full like roast the beans in front of you. They start with like raw beans in front of you, and then they go from that to some nice black coffee that they pour out for you. So I think it's quite the experience. And it's, I think it's pretty slow. Like, it, you know, it takes time and they really enjoy it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yara doesn't like coffee. It seems like a big part of the culture in Ethiopia.
Yeah, I think he does. I think when his mom does the full like coffee ritual, I think he does drink it though. I think that's the only time
that he loves the smell of it. He mentioned he loved the smell, just not the taste. Like, he liked like the nostalgia of the smell of coffee being roasted. Reminds him of his mom and stuff.
Yeah, it does smell good.
So, yeah,
it smells very good.
But yeah. Enough about that. Let's move over to Boulder with these boys. I guess, George, do you want to go on first with the Gooch Watch and then we can go full circle back to Ollie in the Brussels Diamond League?
Yeah, good idea. George's Gooch Watch for the week. Actually, quite an eventful week of Gooch Watch because I was going, to the doctor like that afternoon last week, I think, to get a little checkup at like 5 weeks. And just to see, I guess I hadn't seen anyone in Boulder. Basically, I hadn't seen anyone since the Olympics and getting an MRI and all that. So went and saw our good friend and founded Pod, Dr. Kabayas, who we've had beans from actually kind of recently. And I don't know, the first appointment was just like a, just kind of checking in, seeing what was up and discussing PRP. Or like the potential of getting it and whether or not like it would be worthwhile. And long story short, I got PRP the next day. that kind of stuff happens quick.
Welcome just like, to the club, baby.
We can just do it next week. I mean, we can just do it tomorrow morning. I think he'd already like, he'd set it aside in case it seemed like a good idea. But I think the thing with PRP is that like there's still no like scientific evidence that it does anything, but there's like some so good true. There's some good anecdotal evidence that like people have had good experiences with it. It's basically like all there is still, and it doesn't seem to hurt. It's just like may as well kind of thing. And like I'd already had 5 weeks off, and I'm in no rush to do anything, so it was like may as well like see if it makes things heal really good. Or I was just like, yeah, may as well. So I got some PRP in my adductor the next day, which I feel like after talking to you guys and then asked someone else here, I was like, shit, this is gonna be like pretty traumatic. Like this is gonna be like quite the afternoon, and like was like mentally preparing myself, and then I thought it was really not that bad. And I took Jenna with me in case, like, just that if I needed someone to drive me back, because I don't know if it was too sore to like use my leg or something. But I would have been, like, totally fine to drive had I needed to. And it was just, like, not as painful or as, like, dry needling hurts more, I think. Like, obviously, it was uncomfortable because of the, like, getting it high up in my adductor. Not a super comfortable spot. And when I was leaving the first appointment and then for the next day, he's like, all right, just make sure you come with your pubes shaved.
That's nice. Like, good advice. Right.
Sound advice. So opportunity to get a Brazilian, but missed that opportunity. And
opportunity to get a Brazilian, put it on the medical budget.
Gosh, I should didn't even think about that. Damn it. Next time. That definitely could have gone on the medical budget. What was I thinking? Anyway. And I've had like dry needling in my adductor before, and that's way worse. Like that hurts so bad. This was just not that bad and uncomfortable, but and they take a shit ton of blood actually. Like compared to a blood test, they have to take like, it was like 50 mils or something, but it's like a big ass tube of blood. So that was fun. And yeah, and then I was like, just walked it off later. And like, I walked out of there feeling pretty much fine, like tender to the touch. And, but otherwise, like, I could barely feel it. And I was back on the bike the next morning. And like, haven't really haven't really felt it since, apart from like, or I haven't felt it doing anything that I was doing before I got it, aside from if I just like pushed on right where the needle gets jabbed in and out. Because I think you kind of put it in a bunch of different places. The needle like probably just causes some inflammation coming in and out and moving around, which is also potentially what helps it heal, is because it like creates a tiny bit of trauma. Yeah. So then your body's like, all right, I'll heal that. So whether that helps or whether it's the plasma, is like still debated, maybe, or both. Who knows? But I had not enough self-control not to still do some. We went out on a boat on Saturday with some friends, and I didn't have enough self-control not to do some wake surfing still 48 hours later. But I was like, all right, if I feel absolutely anything, I'm like not going to do it. And it's like, I'm not going to like mess this up. But it was totally fine. So I don't think I did any damage, but probably I didn't.
No, I heard wake surfing is really good for recovering a pelvis injury, actually. I think that's what they recommend.
I looked it up right before I did it. I was like, is this good for it? And it said like, this should...
instant heal.
Like, this should heal. This should help it heal faster, is what I heard. So, yeah, back to pretty normal activity, or at least normal planned activity. I haven't run yet. But otherwise, like whatever I was doing beforehand, I'm pretty much doing now, and it feels pretty good. Like I hit 6 weeks yesterday, which maybe I was going to start running, but getting PRP. Well, actually, I didn't even talk to Ritz about it. I don't know. I think he wanted to wait a few extra days just because of the getting PRP. So maybe, but I don't really know what like the requirement is to start running, like what you have to be able to feel. So that's the plan in the next few days, is to like do some tests to that I don't know what they are to see when I should start running, basically. But otherwise, nice. It feels good.
That's just exciting. Doing
some biking. But my knee got sore from biking too much. I wasn't even biking very much, but went from no bike cross training to like bike cross training every day, and then my knee got sore for like a day.
Yeah, biking's weird like that. It's just such a different activity from what you would normally be doing.
And that's Gooch Watch for the week.
Nice. Good progress. Eventful once again.
Week. Now we all have had the old adductor PRP. So this little club we got going.
If you want to host the Coffee Club pod.
I can't wait till Dathan or Kaylin listens to this and he just goes, what? He was wakeboarding? Good God.
Kaylin, don't tell Reds.
Is Dathan like around the gym and stuff right now, or is he actually taking a break?
He's actually taking like a week off. That's also why I haven't tried to bug him. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to give Reds a few days or a week off before I just start.
Nice.
I don't know if he's showing up to Helen's training, because Helen's absolutely correct. Apparently she ran like 220 marathon yesterday. Not actually 220. She ran like 216 for 40K. More. 216 for 25 miles. Which like if you add on,
you that's may only as well just 2K, finish it at that point.
That's only 2K short of a marathon at like, what is that pace? What is she running? 3:30s or something? At 7, that's like a 2:22 or something in Boulder. That's just silly.
We got to tell her to get Strava. I want to follow those runs.
Imagine that.
That'd be sick.
So
I guess Joe been linking up with her a bit. So kind of whatever Joe's been doing, she's doing. Or no?
I think he has been pacing her a little bit. I don't know what. Not yesterday though. At least I assume not. But I think they've been training. Yeah. It was like Keita, Joe, and Helen holding down the fort for a while.
It's a lead squad.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone can really train with Helen at the moment.
Nope. Yeah. Nope, nope, nope. Damn. Well, yeah, good to hear you got some nice progress, and it'll be very exciting to hear the next week or two as you test it out and see if you can get back into actual running. That's a big step.
That's the goal.
Nice.
Gus's nice. Face looks very funny right now.
Yeah, can we get a Gus check-in? Let's get a Gus update.
Gus update. Well, Gus is doing well. Vibing, chilling. He's actually been a lot more mellow since I've been back. Maybe he's just maturing into that adult that I always knew he could be. Walks have been good. I have like a new tree that's kind of shedding a bit, few leaves, and he keeps eating them on the ground, and you just hear this like little crackling of like a leaf chip that he'll eat when I'm watching TV or making dinner. But he's been doing good. He's been chilling, vibing it out. Very happy to have me back. Shout out to Jackson for looking after him, and Meg, and Avery. He's been very well looked after when I've been away for Europe, so thank them for that. But he's chilling. He's ready for his fall training camp. He's going to be doing some training, trying to get lean again. He is a bit porky at the moment. He'd look great on a spit, so that's what we're going to try to avoid, aren't we, bud? Yeah? Okay. But no, he's doing good. Excited to have him back. It's nice just to, for me, the one thing that I really missed was, which is sounds weird right now, probably saying it, but I love taking him out for his poo and his peas. Because like that routine in the morning of just like waking up, walking outside, getting some fresh air, looking around, and it's so pretty in the mornings and the evenings. Here, it's just been really nice. And then also when it gets colder out there in the mornings, it's always been nice to just hold something a bit warm. So, you know, grabbing his shit, it's just a nice little, you know, keep my hands warm. So that's been good. So thanks to Gus for that. But yeah, he's doing well.
Have you lived here in the winter with Gus?
He's going to be great in the winter. Yeah, keep my hands warm.
Yeah, really well.
Oh, amazing. And Ollie, how are you doing? How are you finding being back in Boulder? And then maybe we can get into the Brussels Diamond League final.
Yeah, it's been good. I was pretty jet lagged for 2 days, pretty tired. Kind of had that point where my season prolonged to a point where I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself now that I have the time off. But I've been fussing around, running errands, doing some stuff around the home improvement section of my life. And then the other section of my life is gaming. I've been gaming a lot with Avery. Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2 came out, and it's been fun to play that. Beat the whole campaign in one day with Avery, which was pretty fun, but also I had square eyes after it. I've also been playing a lot of Fallout New Vegas. I've been reading a decent amount. I'm trying to get to The Will of Many because people keep telling me how good that book is, and I need to finish Red Rising before I can get to that. And
did you also get the full 10 days off that Ritz has switched to?
No, Ritz only gave me 5 days off because my season wasn't very good. So
got to train harder.
Yeah, I didn't do very well. No. I got 10 days off, yeah. Ritz and I had a good chat about stuff. We went through my training, which was quite interesting because I didn't really have like any training blocks this past year or past season. And then he's showed me like what I'm going to be doing leading into 25. And it's got me pretty excited, actually.
Threshold?
Not necessarily for me, but my training is going to change a little bit. Not necessarily the mid-distance side of it, but pretty much Dathan said he wants me to be a 328 guy that can run a 5K. So he's looking into potentially putting me in the five some points, but we're still sticking with some 1500 stuff that I'm pretty excited about.
You were sitting almost running a 5K this summer for a while. Well, you were definitely talking about it.
Yeah. I really wanted to, but then Dathan told me why. It's like because I had no strength, which made sense. But going into Brussels, I had a great time with Yard. Really, really fun. We went out after the race and had a few beers with, it was me, him, Stewie McSwain, and Cole Hocker, and it was actually really fun. went to some college pubs and had a few beers and talked about just anything other than running, which was always really fun to do. The race itself for me, like I felt amazing actually in this race. I felt a lot better and a lot more engaged than I did in Zurich. But I'm having a real trouble this season, like holding my position. For me, I was like in a position behind someone and then someone would just try and go around me and cut in, and I would let them cut in, and then I'd like kind of stagger a bit. And once you keep staggering back and back and back, it just definitely ruins your momentum. But I felt really great in the race. I just wish I could have held my position better, but that's just something that's going to come with, you know, training and obviously just being more assertive in those races, which I used to be. And I think the past few races, I wasn't as assertive as I had been in the past. Unfortunately, Jared got tripped up with about 300 meters to go. He said he was going to just absolutely rip it, which was a bit disappointing for him, but still, like, it was good to finish the season off. I'm very happy with what I did in being able to finish those last two races, because for me, it's just given me a good perspective on when things are not going so well and you can just keep going through and keep performing, whether it's good or bad. Like, just being able to compete at those things is like an absolute privilege. And I mean, I still ran 3:34, which was not bad. I just didn't race as well as I wanted to. But at the end of the day, like, it's all done now, and I'm looking forward to the future and getting back to training with the team and having everybody, obviously besides some people, but having everybody, like, you know, fit, ready to go. I think that's an exciting thing about the fall. Hopefully George's gooch will be nice and ripe for the picking when that time comes around in a few months. But yeah, Brussels was great. Some Coffee Club fans out there, as always. The security at Brussels was actually not great, which was really interesting, because they have, like, you come out and there's like a gate area that heads towards the buses, and all the athletes go through there. So like Sydney McLaughlin goes through there, Jakob, Monda, they all go through there, and a lot of them got swamped, and it was pretty crazy to see people swamping them, and then like a lot of their support crew just acting like bodyguards and pushing people away, because it was massively packed, Brussels. The weather was not great as well. Yara was very upset about that. It hailed a bit at our pre-meet, which was kind of funny. The city was really cool. Walked around. Shout out to Bark Boy, which is a coffee shop in Belgium. It's got this really cool logo and emblem that looks like Gus. I have a serviette from them that I can show on the podcast.
Let's go, Bark Boy.
But really good coffee, very cool vibes. But this is their emblem. If you can see there.
That does look just like us.
It's a really cool emblem, and very, very good coffee and really cool vibes. Definitely enjoyed sitting there having a coffee and relaxing. They had a really nice cinnamon bun that they made there that was very like, it was like just really, really delicious. And yeah, that was Brussels. It was nice just to get back into the US after, like, for me, going back from Lausanne, spending time here, enjoying it, and then going back to Europe was hard, I think mentally. And then doing the trip from Europe back to here, I was just like very mentally, I was physically exhausted, but I was very mentally exhausted. So past few days, I've like kind of been off my phone as much as I can, and tried to just like, yeah, just mentally just take a shut down, just really relax. But
did you find that being away from the Instagram, did you enjoy that these last couple months?
So personally, I think it hasn't made that much of a difference, but it's definitely made me feel, it's made me feel pretty like I don't know what's going on as much. Like, I didn't even know about the Diamond League money stuff until Meg told me this morning. and she doesn't really like follow any running stuff, but we looked at it and I was like, oh shit, that's pretty cool.
You just made a new Instagram.
But like, I did, but I don't have the app download. Like, I deleted the app from my homepage. I have to like search up the app to get onto it. And I still have both accounts. But I'm going to like look into maybe hiring someone to use my main account potentially, and then my
whoever private... Josh Kerr uses, you should definitely.
Yeah, definitely not.
Definitely use them.
I was thinking of reaching out to like somebody who wants to just like maybe post some stuff for me for a little bit to see if that works out. But I also might set up like some sort of, there's a thing you can set up that what I thought was talking about where it automatically deletes comments and DMs from people that you don't want. So I was looking into that as well. But honestly, like it's made a difference in the sense that I don't know what's going on, which has kind of been nice. But also like I don't really, like Instagram for me hasn't been as valuable now in my life where it was before, because like that was like I'd look at like getting information, or I really enjoyed going on reels, sending reels to people. That was like my favorite thing, or sending stupid reels to my mates. Whereas now, like obviously don't do that as much anymore. And but I think the social media break's been really good for me. But I know how important social media is for not just for like my running career and for that, but like Coffee Club as well. It's like always fun to do stuff in Coffee Club or repost something from Coffee Club and then get messages from our fans just saying how much it means to them. Like that shit is like whatever the opposite of kryptonite is for Superman. Like that's just like straight Lois Lane into my veins. Like really nice motivational stuff. And that stuff that I miss is being able to connect with that community. I probably will go back on Instagram. I might give it a bit more time still and then go back like when the season starts. But because there's nothing going on in my life anyway, nothing of interest. It's been pretty good. My mates had to get WhatsApp so they can actually communicate with me now, which has been funny because WhatsApp's kind of, you know, annoying in some ways. But other than that, it's been pretty good break. To me.
I'm converted. I don't, now after spending this much time in Europe, I don't know why the whole world doesn't just use WhatsApp.
I think it's like only America, most people that doesn't do. Use WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Everyone in New Zealand uses WhatsApp.
Yeah, just America.
I assume everyone in Australia uses WhatsApp.
It just makes so much sense.
It's so good. It's just like all the messaging apps combined.
Yeah. Doesn't matter into what type of phone you have. Yeah. So good.
Yeah, it's all inclusive. It's not like iMessage. Which is
very discriminatory.
Very, very discriminating against green messages.
Yeah, but just back to your race, Ollie. I knew like when I watched it, I knew like especially after hearing what your goals were last week, I knew that you would kind of have those slight mixed feelings. But I knew that like it looked like you raced well. You know what I mean? So I was happy for you, especially considering. Like, you know, the last few weeks, then just at this point in the season being tired and just the tough things that you've had to overcome. So I was happy to see you go out there and, you know, give it such a good effort. And I think, many, many, many runners, like we all know the feeling of that end of the season, sense of relief when you can finally hit reset, take time off. And I think in particular, you feel like that after a season where you've had to deal with injury, because the reality of our sport is when you miss as much time as you had to miss in the last year, especially, you know, you had to miss, I don't know how much it was in the end, but let's say 3 months or even maybe more of your foundational like building phase, it's always going to be so hard to be as good as you want to be. So you always, while you live in the moment and you make the best of it, I think you're always kind of looking ahead to next year and being like, I just can't wait until I can do everything the way I want to do it and do it right. So yeah, I'm happy that now we can all kind of hit that reset together. And I think many runners would say the fall is like in some ways their favorite time of the year because the training is just more relaxed and you get to train with the whole squad. So I think that's going to be very, very fun this year. Got some good new additions for the team. So I'm really looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, that's a great way to point it. Thank you. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And also, now that the season is over, boys, we can talk about something very important.
Is it the gala?
It's the gala.
You know what I heard? You want to? Well, I don't know if the freshmen are going to be able to host it.
Olivia had mentioned that because the landlord lives down the road, they're not super keen to host it at their place, considering that they've just started a lease there.
We'll just invite him.
There was another question raised by, I don't know if it was Yared. I think it was Yared. He asked, why doesn't George host it? Because he has a house. So I don't know if George is going to get put under pressure for that or Yared.
Sounds like you did just put George under pressure.
No. What I'm saying is, because like we're looking at houses, right? Like people, like I said, you have a party at the house. Yared and Mario and Tyson technically have a house too. So you could pressure them in some form of way. But their landlord lives next door, I think. So I don't know.
Their landlord doesn't live next door, but their house is. He doesn't live next door. He owns the house next door as well. Oh, but,
okay. My bad. I thought he lived next door or something like that.
Their house wouldn't be great for a party.
No. Maybe. There's no big space unless you can use the backyard and it's good weather. Oh, but backyard
there would be nice. You have to have a daddy there. A day Jordy, party on a nice day.
Jordy's house did get mentioned as a possibility to host, but because Jordy is one of 20 people living at the house, I think, so he'd have to have like a kind of like a union council meeting and get maybe a majority of the vote for the other 19 people that live at his place. But either that, I had an idea, boys, just talking. This is called Gala Talk. We're in Gala Talk right now. I had an idea. We could do a fun like maybe fridge to fridge. Do you know what fridge to fridge is, Morgan?
Yeah.
So like,
so we're having a party at everyone's house.
So that's technically you would do it at everyone's house, but you'd have these little missions. So like fridge to fridge is a big Australian thing. I remember growing up and loving doing fridge to fridge where you would like get a scooter or you get some form of transport and you would have to go to each mate's place and then empty their fridge. And then you'd end up finishing at either a house for the main event party, or you'd go to like a bar and do like bar hopping after that. So the idea would be we don't have to maybe – I don't know if our running community can finish fridges like a lot of other people can. However, we could do like certain missions or certain drinking games, because I know Geordie loves drinking games, from place to place, and maybe start outside Boulder, and then we could also just end at my place and then walk to the bars potentially as I'm like on closest to that area. If there is no option
like
for anybody
you're thinking. I think – you could potentially do a really cool scavenger hunt type thing, like just bar hopping around Pearl Street. I know people do. I gotta find it out. But Simon was telling me one time that he had a list of different like unique cocktails or drinks that different bars in Boulder had, and it was like going and ticking off the whole list as like kind of a bar to bar scavenger hunt type thing.
Yeah, that's. I mean, we could definitely do an idea like that.
Everything's pretty close to each other there, so.
Yeah, so we could do like maybe a couple places, OEC houses, and then we end up at my place and then start from there to do some of the bar hopping as well, if we want to.
I love it.
That's a
potential if no one can host it.
I like how we went from, no one's house can host it to let's just briefly visit everyone's house as a nice little
I think that's only fair, don't you?
I think that's fair. We're taking the brunt of the
Longmont,
this party,
and then we go Nunawat, then Gun Barrel, then Bolt, North Boulder, then Central Boulder.
Doesn't that sound fun though? Because you're just going from like, you're traveling. It's like you're hobbits and you're going to Mordor, but Mordor is like the pub.
It's a quest.
Yeah, it's a quest.
Those are some great ideas. Those are some really good ideas.
Well, who's the furthest away? Joe, probably. Joe and Sage.
They are pretty far.
No, Helen.
I don't know if you're doing that on foot.
We're starting Helen.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. So Helen to Joe and Sage is not that bad. They're pretty close to each other. But then after that, it's a bit of a trek to get to Alicia's place.
Should we just all go to Dathan's and drink all his beer and then leave without any like word or questioning of it?
We'll drink all his Corona lights.
Not tell him, just turn up to his place and just drink all his alcohol and leave.
Would you say that Jude invited us?
Yeah.
Jude is hosting Dathan's son.
We'll drink all of Ritz's like two or three Corona lights. We just split
and
them between
leave.
Everyone.
Perfect.
I love it. Let's do it. I'm in.
I think Kaelin would
be. That's a very successful first gala talk, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Amazing.
Should we go back to Brussels?
Yeah. Go ahead, George. I know you have something to say.
My view of Ollie's race, as an impartial, if I was like just not just rooting for Yarrett and Ollie and I was just watching it, in my opinion, that was one of, if not the worst Diamond League 1500 of the year. And I think I probably watched all of them. And I honestly think for the Diamond League final, I feel like it was like maybe the worst one. Also, whoever that pacer is needs to watch a video of how to pace a race and how to leave the track. That was like diabolically bad. Did you see that?
That was the most exciting. No, I mean, not the most exciting part, true, but that was some crazy.
That's like one crazy of the most memorable parts of the race was the pacemaker. That was like a Rambo pacing job in Zurich. That's what Rambo did like 2 years ago. Do you remember, were you in that one, Ollie?
Really?
Where
I think I was,
Rambo just went to like just the outside of lane one and just made people run around him. And then this guy did the same thing. So was it Tim or Jakob had to go all the way around the pacer?
Yeah. Well, Jakob was the one that almost like fell from it. Like Jakob was impeded and he ended up going around him.
I still just think Diamond League final shouldn't have a pacer. Or at least in this situation, I feel like it didn't help. Last year, obviously, they didn't need one. 340. They probably wouldn't have run 343 without a pacer last year. But I feel like the Diamond League final just like didn't really hit its stride this year. I don't know if it was the timing. Obviously, the Diamond League can't decide when the Olympics are. And so they have to be a lot later in the year than after everyone is trying to be good, which it's not Diamond League's fault. But just like a few things, like the Sydney thing was a big letdown, which is just running against random people. And then like, obviously they run out of money to pay Grant Holloway or something. That was bad. That was pretty bad. And
I don't know.
Just like wasn't. Yeah, that's my very short take on it. Can't think of the other race.
5K. They ran very fast. I didn't get to actually watch as much of it as I would have liked. Yeah. I think the 1500 was cool because it did have a lot of big names, and I thought it was cool that Jakob tried to go out like behind Yard and stuff. Like it's always interesting when he doesn't go like right behind the paces. I don't know if
it was going to be a good rematch between him and Yard until Yard got kind of clipped. He did well to stay on his feet, actually.
He did very well.
It's very athletic of him. What else happened in Brussels?
I already forgot.
Sydney McLaughlin ran the 400 and 200. I think she won.
She ran quicker in the 400 than Poligno, and then in the 200 she would have come a close second with her times.
Yeah. But did she win the races? I can't remember if she won or not.
Of course she did.
She was in?
Yeah, she won her races, right? The two races.
Yeah.
Who would have beaten her?
She crushed her races.
I don't know. I didn't know if Mondo was in it or not. I couldn't remember if Mondo was racing or not.
She took down Mondo.
Because if Mondo was racing, she would have got smoked. Mondo would have smoked her.
Was Matt Denny winning again?
Yeah, the back-to-back. And his competition was pretty intense as well.
He set a record, I think.
69.99 or something.
69.96, I thought.
Oh, like 69. I don't know.
Close to 70, I think.
It was nice. There was some cool stuff across the board. Some good performances, but yeah, maybe some people also. It is hard to keep going at this point in the season, so maybe some of the events were a bit weaker. I mean, obviously they're going to be weaker than the Olympics. I guess that's always how it's going to be, but. Yeah, just how it goes. Some good races still, though. I thought it was overall decent. And as we already mentioned, the Diamond League, Wanda, who I guess, I don't know if Wanda is still sponsoring it because I thought that sponsorship was coming to a close, but maybe they are still sponsoring it. They did announce some big prize money increases, which seems like it has to be in response to Grand Slam track. And so now they haven't said the exact amounts, but they said, well, I didn't fully understand like what the numbers are going to be, but they said between 30K and 50K prize money per discipline, and then the final will be between 60 and 100K. So I don't really know what that means. It's a very big range. I don't know what that means for first
place. That means 30K and then 60K. And then if you're like Jakob or Mondo, you get 60K and 100K. It just depends how big you are.
It is surprising that you set a range for the singular events. Does that mean some events, the total prize money is... Well, I guess some events are less because they have less... Like the field events are less because there's only six people, I think.
Okay. Well, maybe that is what it means. But so how much do we think first place is then? If let's say it's 50K, so first place has to be... I mean, it's still still nothing compared to Grand Slam, as they were quick to point out.
Very quick to point out. But they're not they're not competing with the Diamond League. It was just coincidence that right after the Diamond League announced the prize money, they also posted an Instagram post.
Yeah, they had such a snarky little caption, didn't they? Kyle Merber's over there. He's having too much fun. He's got too much money and power these days. Maybe grand slamming maybe everyone.
If the total was 50, does the winner get half, 25, and then it goes down or something? That'd be a big increase from 10. Yeah, but it has been 10 for like how many years? When was it 10, Ollie? 10 years? 15 years?
Yes, yeah,
I think even when it was the Golden Gala, it was 10 grand.
It was always 10, but then the final was always worth a lot more. Like the final used to be 70, I think, or 60, and then you'd win an extra 10 grand if you won the points, like if you're leading the points after the end of the season. So like, for example, I think my first year, if Stewie had won the Diamond League final, he would have got 70K, I think, because he was leading the Diamond League points, and then he would have won the Diamond League final. But if you just win the final without leading in the points, you get 60, and then I think Stewie got 10K extra because he led the points at the end of the season. They used to have that model, and then now they just went to 10K and 30K for the final, regardless of
did points Jakob or win, not. Jakob won both, I'm guessing. He must have.
Yeah, but he doesn't get anything for the points anymore. They don't do that anymore.
There's no regular season winner.
No.
I didn't know that.
99% sure, because it's not mentioned.
Yeah, I didn't see anything.
Oh, that was interesting. Al-Bakali got beaten for the first time since the Diamond League final of 2021. He went 3 years unbeaten in the steeplechase.
He has looked pretty crazy. Almost a bit more vulnerable this year, and a lot of other people in the steeplechase have been like looking really good, but still I am kind of shocked because he just like I would up to this point I would never bet against him because he always somehow finds a way.
Mm-hmm.
But wow, that's a big upset.
That's gonna be interesting going into next year now. Yeah. Those guys.
Yeah.
So you'll come out on top.
Yeah. We also definitely have to talk about Jakob's double that he attempted to pull off. I think he teased it in the post-race interview, and then it got announced official the next day that he was doubling back just 2 or 3 days later to run in the Copenhagen Half Marathon, which saw him line up against literally the best half marathon runners in the world, with Kip Limo, I think, is the current world record holder, and then Sebastian Sawe, the Kenyan. Well, there's a lot of good Kenyans, but Sawe is the current world half marathon champion. And I did you guys watch this at all?
No. I guess it would have been bad time for you. I saw that he's standing by saying that he's never run more than 20K.
Yeah, that's... I don't know. See... Surely, I guess he doesn't count it, but like some of his threshold sessions must get really big, right? I guess it's maybe not a continuous run. Session. I guess
maybe
not.
It's like, I don't know. Maybe in a full day.
Anyway, I got a lot of respect for him for just lining up, and he just went with the lead. He went with the pace, and I guess he was just seeing how far he could hold it. I mean, and he looked good the first 5K, and they didn't go out crazy, crazy fast. Like, I think some of the pacing was meant to be pretty quick. I mean, they had Aragawi out there pacing them and some other great paces. So they were going for it. I think they wanted a world record at some point, but I think the first 5K was a touch slow. But then, yeah, 10K, It was a little funny watching it because Jakob almost like kicked a little bit. Like, I don't know if he was leading before and then he made sure he was like the first across the mat at 10K and then he pulled over the side and just was, I guess, in a lot of pain, walked around for a little bit and then kept jogging. And I think he stopped a couple of times and ended up finishing the race in around 63 minutes or so. And the leaders went on to win in just over 58 minutes. So it was, I mean, it was a great race in the end. But yeah, I don't know. I honestly thought that Jakob was going to go crush it. I didn't think that he was going to try go out at world record pace, though, because I would have thought for him, considering he does so much threshold training, that he would know kind of exactly what he could run for a half marathon, because they always talk about how your half marathon speed is essentially your threshold speed. So, but he's a racer and he just went out.
I wonder if he did like have that in the back of his mind, but in the same time he was like, oh, I'm just gonna go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he definitely planned
to stop though. At some point before 10K, he was like, all right, I'm just going to make it to 10K and then I'm going to stop. Because he literally went over the line and like stopped his watch and walked.
Well, he did, you know, he did break the Norwegian 10K record.
Yeah, did it count? It was like an injury.
They had an official, like I think they had official things for like all the splits, like 10K, 15K, 20K, you know?
He must have planned that at some point then. At like 6 or 7 or 8K, he's like, all right, I'm just going to go get I'll just get the Norwegian record.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I think at some point he's going to be really good at the half. There's no way he's not going to be.
He's got to start running longer than 20K though.
Maybe. I wonder if he thinks that that is required.
Yeah.
Or if it just after that race, 2 days after the end of the season.
Yeah. After that race, I think possibly. But some other big news which just came out today, which is, I guess, specific to us, is that it looks like the Comm Games is actually going to happen. And in a kind of weird twist, it'll be hosted in Glasgow, but funded in part at least, or in a pretty big part, I think, by the Australian government. So I don't know how you can make sense of that. But
so it pretty much
it's going to happen in a smaller version, in a smaller scale.
Pretty much what happened
I think specifically Victoria government.
Victoria government, because they're the ones that bidded for it. I think what's happened is the Premier of Victoria was like, we're not doing it because it's going to cost too much money, but it's still going to cost them money because they're still doing it, but just not in their country. So they won't reap any of the benefits from the economic input, as you say, of having the games there. They're just going to be paying for it to get the best economic input in Glasgow. So it just sounds like Victoria is helping out the Scottish with some funds to help.
Maybe Glasgow will repay them a little bit if it goes really well or something.
No, I doubt that.
it's a little profit sharing model. But I thought they just knew that it's going to lose money no matter what. Even if they
now they're still losing money regardless. So
I wonder when it will be.
It's going to be during the Ultimate Games.
Surely it'll be. Will it just be in the middle of summer? That is Ultimate Games, but Ultimate Games is super late.
Yeah, yeah. It's in Budapest as well, right?
Yeah, like mid-September. So maybe it'll be August or something. But there'll be a lot to choose from in the 2026 season. Ollie will have to. It looked like Ollie was just going to be defending Comm Games champ for eternity, but it looks like you might have to go defend your title after all.
Which is a good thing. Action. Yeah, if athletics can happen at the Comm Games, that's good for us. Like, full stop. Like, it is for us a very cool event, I think. We all wish that we could compete in Europeans. Europeans looks very fun. But unfortunately, we cannot. And I think this is our next best option. So, and there's some really good competition in all our events. So it is really good racing. Oh, hey, Ollie.
Yeah. So, I think it's the closest thing we have to a European like competition.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do compete against Europeans. That helps.
Very true. Yeah, that's a good observation.
All right. We do have a couple. Are we going to do a preview of AFLOS? Because is that how you pronounce it? I don't know if that is. AFLOS NYC? Yeah.
I forgot the track season's not actually over.
Surprise. The biggest track meet of the year is on next week. I think it's on the, is it on the 26th of September in New York? Also, massive concert if you're into Megan Thee Stallion. Probably paying her a ton of money. And then in each event.
Is she racing? Have,
as well? Yeah, I don't know. What, I think she's doing the hurdles.
I thought she's doing the hurdles.
Yeah.
I don't think, are there hurdles? What events are there? There's only like, aren't there like five hurdles. Events?
There's definitely 100
hurdles. I don't even know if there's a 100. No, there's got to be a 100.
I think there's flat one hurdles, 2, 4, 8, 15, right?
Yeah, that's it.
I got the plus.
There's no 200 hurdles?
Not this time.
That's what I thought Megan Thee Stallion was doing.
Six events.
Six women in each event. Lots of prize money. I don't know. I'll be in Africa, so I don't think I'll be watching it. But yeah, the 1500 is stacked. I mean, the 1500 has Faith and some of the best Ethiopians and Susan. Also,
surprised Jess isn't running.
Yeah.
At least she was, but then she maybe found out Faith was running and she's like, well, I'm not going to win 60K, so might as well end the season.
What does second place get? Is it 60, 30, 2 grand? 10? Or, I think it's like 60, 30, 10.
I thought it was 60K, 2 grand, 1 grand, 500, 200, 100, and then a handshake.
It's actually just winner takes all.
Winner takes all. Winner takes
There's
all
no
the
prize money to come see.
Winner it's takes not a bad all. Model. But it is a shit ton of prize money being put up by, what is it again? The is it the founder of Snapchat?
Reddit?
No. Reddit. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
You just said no.
No,
Reddit. You said no to me.
Oh,
I was like, said
no, Morgan. Not Reddit Snapchat. Sounds right.
Yeah.
That would be Miranda Kerr's husband. We're thinking about Serena Williams' husband.
Sorry, easy to get confused. Yeah, 60K is a shit ton of money. Oh, that's crazy.
You know what's also this weekend? Is the first player's low test in Sydney.
Can't wait.
I think. Holy shit.
Yeah, so we're playing the New Zealand team and they're looking pretty vulnerable right now.
I think it's at 11:30 PM.
Should Do you want to watch it together, George?
Maybe.
Then you can have Maybe a shoulder to cry on.
Oh, sheesh.
This is our year.
That's some strong talk right there.
This is our year. Well, you guys have lost. Hasn't I mean, been... I don't want to talk about one of the games against a certain team, but the rest of the games have been playing pretty well. So,
do you know when the last time Australia had the Blazlow Cup was?
2000 something, wasn't it? Like, we were good in like 2002. Yeah,
22 years.
Of
that's
just
a tough streak to break.
Wait, 2002 team was iconic though. Our team was so good. I can't remember. I think it was 2002 or 2001. Anyway, you can come over and we can watch it. Gus is going for the ref, so yeah, he can separate us if we get too heated about it.
I love it.
What else?
Well,
any other news?
The only other news is that the final piece of news I think today is that we're going to have. I mean, we kind of knew this for a bit, but I think it just got publicly announced that our good friends over at UAC Track Club are officially moving to Boulder. So
first they try to take our name, and then they try to take our town.
Madness. Which I don't even know what that means in terms of how many of their people are actually going to be moving here. And if even Pete is going to move to Boulder or he's just going to stay in Denver and just commute. So I don't know, but I assume now we're going to know a lot more about what they're up to. So
no, I heard Pete was moving to Portland. He's actually moving to Portland up. And then the team's moving to Boulder.
they can't be together. That's makes too much sense.
Yeah, he loves that so much.
The question here though is honestly, is the rest of the team going to move? Because I've heard rumors that they don't want to move.
Oh, really?
Some of the athletes don't. Yeah.
So just the team will be in Boulder, but there won't actually be any athletes.
Just like how it has been, where I think only a couple of them were in Portland, but the team used to be in Portland. So
I think what's from hearing the bells and whistles from the Diamond League circuit and from agents and shit like that, is that apparently the team's going to be based here. All the existing people, I don't think, have to move here. It's highly encouraged. And then they're going to recruit people for the team, and then they have to move here.
That would make sense.
I don't, that makes sense, because I don't think I could name three people.
Well, my athlete is definitely not moving to Boulder. He's staying in
He's not on the team, though, right?
He's on my team.
Yeah, exactly. So I could name him, but he's not on the team, so he doesn't count.
No, he's on my team.
He's on Whore Bag Elite.
He's on Run Like a Whore.
I can name three people that are on UAC's roster, but I don't even know if Raven, I think Rod, maybe Sinclair possibly.
Oh, no, I could name three. Sinclair, Ella Donahue, and Ribeye.
I don't know if Ribeye is still, I think he retired.
Did Ribeye live? Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
I think Ribeye retired. That's only two. Sinclair, Johnson & Johnson is still there. Baltimore's Raven Rogers is also still there, I think.
Yeah, I think she is.
True.
And then
I can't see her moving to Boulder.
Yeah. I think Suguru is still technically part of the team, but I don't really. I think he does probably whatever he wants. I think he retired at one point, so.
Yeah, Suguru saw Keita training with our team, so he wants to join our team now. So.
Suguru is pretty sick, actually.
Yeah, Suguru, but he's just going to be Joe's training partner. That's just it. He's only
going to be. Now what track is going to be crazy?
Yeah.
Joe's just got to move to Japan. Imagine Joe training with a Japanese university or
corporate. I reckon he'd run through a
lot in heaven.
Yeah, he'd run through a lot of the marathon. He'd be so good.
Watch out.
Immediately.
He might do it.
US half marathon record would be his immediately.
Watch out.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, so good. So good. Well, I think on that exciting note, I think we can probably wrap this up here. Boys, anything else?
At some point,
today?
We'll start talking about NCAA cross, because that's going. Yeah. I don't know what's happening, but.
Probably for the big one. Probably just for nationals.
Yeah.
All I know is that Parker Wolf is ranked 11th, I think, by someone. I don't know who ranks them. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? So, madness.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. But I don't even know who does the rankings.
Do you reckon we're going to run any cross country this coming fall?
Are we going back to sound running?
I mean, yeah. I'm curious to see if we run any cross country.
I'm down if you are.
We could just run some cross country. I mean, I wish that they had like a race in college where it was open race and you could just turn up. That'd be so fun.
I don't.
Because even if we got waxed, I miss running cross country like that. It's super fun.
You guys should just, if you go into the race, you should just like stage a race that morning.
Yes.
Like
Let's
before the race.
We'll warm up the course.
It's always not until like 1 p.m. You guys just have a race at like 10.
It's a great idea.
Just like an all comers. You say like, all right, show up if you want.
What's the prize if you win?
Gus is putting up 100K. Matching.
We're
matching AFLOS. We're doing it.
It's a winner takes all, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it from us for episode 153 of the Coffee Club podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening once again. And we look forward to seeing you again next week. Bye-bye.